Okay. So Rosh Hashanah. Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis and Aleph. So, we'll see. We're going to get into a little bit. I mean, we may get a little philosophical, so yeah, perhaps. But basically, it's going to get into basically the structure of tefillah. You know, Malchus, Chumash, and Shofros on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so maybe by the time we're done, we'll have some idea of what we're doing when we daven on Rosh Hashanah. You know, it's always good. Okay, but it's a sugya. It's a sugya. So let's see. So the Mishnah says like this. It says, "In pochasim." So let's just get the basic structure of the tefillah. So you have in Rosh Hashanah Musaf. So you basically you have the normal, you know, first three and last three brachos. Your middle three brachos are Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchios is about God as the Melech, you know, about the theme of God as the Melech of the Olam. Then Zichronos is the theme of that we are, so to speak, remembered, or God knows, God is all-knowing, and we have some place before God. And then Shofros is about Shofar, about God's revelation, with the call Shofar. So the theme is about Shofar. Now, in each of these three parts, Malchus and Shofros, the structure of the tefillah is as follows. Okay, the structure of the bracha, basic structure, is you have an introductory paragraph which talks about the theme. Okay, you can confirm this later if you want to look at the Seder, but basically it talks about what Malchus is about, talks about what Zichronos is about, talks about what Shofros is about. Okay, that's how it starts. After it talks about the theme, it brings psukim, 10 psukim in support, or something like that, about that theme, which have the word Melech, or have the concept of Melech. 10 psukim, they have the concept of Zikaron. 10 psukim, they have the concept of Shofar. Okay? And then, after you have the psukim, then you have, it concludes in a bakasha, in a tefillah, a request that God will express his malchus in the world, that God will be Zocheras, or Zocher the Bres. That God will listen to the sound of our shofar. Okay? So that's the idea. So again, you have the basic description of the theme, then you have the psukim, the 10 psukim, and then you have the tefillah, the request. Okay? And that's for each of Malchus, Chumash, and Shofros. Okay, so now what we're talking about now is the psukim. Okay, that's what this sugya is about, the psukim. I mean, it relates to the other ones, but explicitly it's about the psukim. So it says, how many psukim? I mean, I just told you the punchline, that we have 10 psukim, but it's not so simple. So it says, Ein pochasim yasor malchios. You can't have less than 10 psukim of malchios, yasor zichronos, yasor shofros. You need at least 10 psukim of each. Apparently you could have more, right? You can't have less than 10 psukim of malchios, shofros, and zichronos, and shofros. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer, im amar shalosh shalosh mikolan yata. If you have three of each, or it's not clear what he means. Three from all of them, that is enough. Okay? You don't need that. But it's enough to have three. Something like that. How would you interpret that if you didn't look at the Gemara? He's reading the Mishnah. What do you think he's saying? How much do you need? Okay, I mean, that's the plainest way to read it is you need three psukim in each. Three of Malchus, one of Zohar, and Shofros. Okay? Shalosh, shalosh, mikulam. Three of each. But let's see. We'll see. The Gemara's going to take it out.
Okay. 10 yeah. Psukim, that's it.
Yeah, the Gemara's just trying to show, where does 10 come from? Why 10 psukim? Where does that come from? So he's having three different sources. And Rashi says, Asar Rosh Abraham Nevarol and Rosh Hashanah. The world was created on Rosh Hashanah. Hayom Haras Olam, means today the world was created. And he created the world with the word Vayomer 10 times, or 10 somethings. So therefore, that's a reason for 10. So there are three different sources for why there are 10 psukim. One is because there's 10 halus in that kehillim, kufnun. The other is because there's a source of divros. And the other is because the word, created the world. God created the world with 10 words. Mm-hmm. All of them are kind of a little strange. Hard to see exactly. First one is in the parak, halu, the last haluka, the word halu appears 10 times.
And that's why...
That's why when we have the number of psukim we have in Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros is 10.
Okay.
I mean, none of these things really add up, though. I mean, okay, so it says the word 10 times.
It seems like a bunch of coincidences.
Yeah, like, okay, so I have 10 fingers on my hand.
Yeah.
So they're like, how does that explain? Like, you want to know how many times you should say it? So we'll look around. Well, I don't know. How many times does it say the word Hashem in that parak? Maybe it says it six. Maybe it should do it six times. I mean, there's a lot of things you could just count up. I mean, Hashem Echad Baruch Hu has 10 words. Say that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the numbers, I mean, it's friends, if I were asking you how many Psukim, how many Psukim you should cite, you'd never come up with these three things. And you come up with a million, right? Maybe seven, because there's 7 days in a week. Right? So it's strange. So I want to skip this for now. I mean, it's just, this is like, it's hard to believe this is really like a limud. It's not like a technical limud. It's rather, it must be they're like pointing to ideas or something like that. It's not like, you know, the way the limud didn't work, you derive something from a pasuk. There's no way to derive from these psukim from that. Says Debras. Oh yeah, I guess on Rosh Hashanah we should say 10 psukim. Doesn't really add up. So it's a little bit of a strange type of a gemara. So I'd rather take up the more concrete halachic thing, and maybe we'll come back to this later. But in the meantime, we'll just see that it exists. Okay, fine. And they also sound pretty forced, because Bereshis, there's only 9 vayomers. The 10th one, yeah. Bereshis also counts. I mean, that's a little, you know, starts getting a little rough. Okay, fine. So let's go further. So Rabbi Yochanan Miri Yom HaShol Shosh Mikol Nyatza. So Rabbi Yochanan Miri says you don't need 10, but you need 3-3. 3-3. So Yibay Elohu, Hei Chi, what does he mean, 3-3s? What does that mean, 3-3? Just say 3. So it says, does he mean Shalosh Min HaTorah V'Shalosh Min HaVim V'Shalosh Min HaKsuvim Nahavuk Teisha? Does he mean 3 mikula means 3 of each book, Torah and Vim Ksuvim, which means 9? V'iko b'nayu chada, and the difference between them is 1. Difference between who?
Between 10
and this. Yes, between the Tanakama who says 10 and Rechel Menuri who says 9 is a difference of 1, and the Rechel Menuri is only diminishing it by 1. O Dilma, or does he mean Echel Menuri, Echel Menuri, Echel Menuri Ksuvim, Nahavnu Shalosh? He says Shalosh, he means 3. One of each. V'ike ben ha'yotuva. Now there's a much bigger difference between them, 10 versus 3. And when he says, shalosh, shalosh, mikulan, I guess you have to say it means 3 of each. 3 malchus, 3 zchonos, and 3 shofros. Here, Rashi. Hey, Chikitani. Hi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Hi, mikulam de ka'amar aman koi. When he says 3 from kulam, from each of them, from all of them, what's he going on? Is he talking about Torah and Ksuvim koi? Does he mean 3 of each of them? 3 of Torah and Ksuvim? The Hayak Mikulhu Amar Kiditnan Maschel B'Torah Maschel Menavi, because you say, well, who's talking about Torah and Yom? But the Mishnah earlier or later, one second. Yeah, the next Mishnah, we didn't read it yet, but in Maschel B'Torah it says Maschel B'Torah Maschel Menavi. So later in the further Mishnah says, based on Tanakhama, you start with Torah and Yom Navi. So there is Torah and Yom Ksuvim mentioned. So he's saying it's Shalosh Shalosh Mikulan means 3 from each of them, Malchus of Torah and Yom Ksuvim. Right. V'halki kam re'ma Shalosh Min HaTorah, Shalosh Min HaKsuvim, Nevi'im, Shalosh Min HaKsuvim, Mikol Achas V'Achas Yatza. 3 from each of Torah and Yom Ksuvim, that's good. V'lo Pala Gador Ban El Achada. And he's only arguing about 1. Inu Amri Asar of Yom HaTisha, because the Ranan say 10, he holds 9. Odu Mahay Gimel Gimel, Amalchus Van Shofros Koi. Shalosh Amalchus, Shalosh Zuchana, Shalosh Shofros. Davidu achas min tov, achas min bim, achas min ksuvim. So it turns out he's just saying 1-1-1. Right? So is he saying 3-3-3 equals 9, or is he 1-1-1 equals 3 in each of achas min tov? And is the 3 from all of them going on Torah and Ksuvim, which told us to 9, or does it mean from all of Malchias, all of Zechanos, all of Shofros? Okay, so the Gemara doesn't know. Which one does he mean? It's not clear. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Ditanya, in Pochsim, Esarmah, another Brisa will prove it. In post mesar malchus mesaros one zeh shofros. So this is the Tanakama, right? You need 10 of each. Ve'amar sheva mikulon yatza kenevet shevarkim. But if you have, even though you should have 10, if you have 7 minimally, that's okay. Kenege the 7 skies, whatever that is. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri argues. This is a new text of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Tell me from here which way he holds. Hapoches loyibchos misheva. If you want to do less, you shouldn't really do less than 7. If you want to be minimal. Should do less than 7. But v'imamah shalosh mikulan yotza. But if you do 3, it's enough. You're still yotzei kenege torah v'yom ksuvim. V'amilah kenege kohanim v'yom yisraelim. Okay. says three is enough. So how, what's this proving? What does Rabbi Chanan mean when he says three? Does he mean three or does he mean nine?
It means three and one from each.
Yeah, because he says you shouldn't do less than seven. But if you don't do seven, but you just do three, then it's okay. But if he meant nine, so he said, don't do less than seven. Oh, but if you do nine, it's okay. That's, of course, seven is more than nine. And nine is more than seven. Right? That's what Rashi says. Because Misheva, V'isalakadayit ha-shoshven to-shoshven v'nishum v'ksuvim, l'kol ha-achos, imkein sheva na'ami, shev menator shevni v'shem v'ksuvim, ha-vilo v'yachlan v'mir mosif. Oh, no, so he says, if you're going to say he means three each, then you have to say seven means seven each. Means 777 is me 21, and then Rechonim Uri, who seemingly is the boring war makel, you can say he's going to be more machmir, say 21, but that's for sure not. That's for sure not. Okay, because he's making less. Okay, so the punchline is that Rechonim Uri means three. He doesn't mean nine. He means three. Okay, but. Despite that, conceptually, the Gemara wasn't really sure. So even though it ends up proving it, apparently there are two different ways of learning the Machlokas. 10 versus 9 or 10 versus 3. And that's going to be our job, to try to understand what's the Svaras for these things. What's the Svaras for 10, for 9, for 3, you know, the whole thing. So obviously the question is, where does this whole Tumilin Rehim Ksuvim thing come from? Seems like that's a premise here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what's that come from? Good question. Next Mishnah, just for one second, it says Inmas Kirin Zichronos or whatever shall pronounce. But let's skip that. Maschil b'Torah u'Maschil m'Navi. So you start with the Torah, and you end with Navi. And Yosi Omerim Hishlam b'Torah Yatsa. Okay, so I think that means in Hishlam b'Torah, it's the last pasuk which you add. Okay. So the question is, which one should you end with? The 10th pasuk. Okay, so the 10th pasuk that we do is from the Torah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that's the way we do it. We do three Torah, three Nevi, and three Ksuvim, and then we have a 10th pasuk which is from the Torah. Okay? 10th pasuk from the Torah. Yeah, so you're saying is starting with 10 sounds strange because the reasons are strange.
Yeah.
Okay? And the reason for 9 or 3 is better? I mean, 3 is, I guess, 1, 1, 1.
Yeah.
And 9, 3, 3, 3. Still some
magic. Yeah, I guess there's really no...
10 is... I would say 10 is the strangest, although Shiva Rukiyam is also a little bit strange. But let's leave this guy's out.
What's the reasoning for 10?
10 Nasser's Debros, 10 Alu's... So what do we do here? This is the problem. I mean, this is the whole Gemara. It's nothing really stands out as you as being super exciting or super, you know, explanatory. So what are we supposed to do here? How are we supposed to try to explain this sugya or figure anything out? It just sounds like, oh yeah, they all have these numbers. We don't really have any insight into any of them. We don't really know why Tamiyaksuvim. We don't know why anything. Right? We don't know 10. We don't know 3. We don't know 7. We don't know 9. Just a lot of numbers. What should we do? Okay, good. So I think what obviously the thing is we have is the way we have to proceed here. Is we can't, we have to start first figure out what is the psukim even doing here? Right? I mean, we can't discuss numbers until we have some basic idea about what the psukim are doing here. And maybe the numbers are actually based upon different ideas of what the psukim are doing here. Right? But at least we have to get our minds working in the area of what are these things? Right. What are the psukim? What do they have anything to do with it? We're davening. We're not just learning. Right, so what are we starting quoting a bunch of psukim? I mean, every so often in tefillos we do mention psukim, right? Like in Musaf, we quote the pasuk. I mean, but that's just like part of the story about what we're doing is, oh, as the pasuk says, we bring so-and-so a karbon. So we mention the karbon, or, you know, that's part of what you do in Musaf, is you mention the karbon which you're bringing, you know, davening, that we don't have the Musaf, but we do it in Shalom Parma, so saying it was through learning about the karbon, mentioning the karbon, we have that kiyum. But it's not ordinary to, in the middle of tefillah to just start going on a list of psukim, right? 3, 9, 10, 7, right? It's just, well, what's the whole... I think that you have to try to figure out some basic idea of what that is before we're ready to start figuring out how many. You have to notice it's not an ordinary phenomenon. And maybe if we gain some insight into what the whole nature of the thing is, then we could, you know... Then we could try to get into the numbers. And one clue, I guess, is one thing we know, as we mentioned before, Avi, is that there's Tan Riyan Ksuvim. That seems to be another given. One given is that we should mention Psukim. Another given is that the Psukim should be spread out over the Tanakh. Right? That's just another fact that we have. Right? And we definitely need more than just one. One Pasuk would have been fine. I mean, I wouldn't have had any problem with one Pasuk. Sometimes you just cite a Pasuk or whatever, you know. Mara has these funny numbers, the reasons for 10. Right, because of Aseres Dibros, because Halukos is whatever for 10, but it doesn't have any for 9 or for 3. So it's like kind of leaves us. That's the question. I guess what we have to figure out, what are Psukim doing in Tefillah? It must have something to do with it. They're definitely related thematically.
Right.
But why are we putting Psukim in Tefillah? Right? You have, for instance, in Tefillah, Yisroch Moshe, and Shabbos Davening. You know, you talk about the thing, you saw the Rashbalko, Kivanam Krasla, whatever, Shinlachas, Mariya, the Vichas of Shmir HaShabbos, says on the Luchas Shmir HaShabbos, Vichin Kasav Zor Zecha, the Shem of Nesavas HaShabbos, Asa HaShabbos, Dorasun Ber Shalom, the Inivim and Nesel, so it talks about Shabbos, using the Pasuk to tell you about Shabbos. But that, I guess that makes sense. In other words, you're talking about Shabbos, you're giving, like, I guess, a Shabbach about Shabbos, that God gave us Shabbos, and you're using the Pasuk to describe for you what Shabbos is. Right? That's what you're doing. But here, I mean, look, you could do that also, but what are you having so, like, a list of a lot of them? I mean, it's one thing you just tell me what the thing is, but you're just growing something that say what Melech is? So my question is, what are you doing? When you say Psukim, just halachic, if you had to define what you're doing. You're just saying Psukim, and it sounds strange, but you just make crying Psukim. Like it says, here. Hashem Yimelech Olam Vaad. That's the Pasuk of Malchios. Okay. V'nemar Lo Hibit Avin B'Yakov Lo Ram Lo Beisrael. Hashem Alakov Yimelech Shuras Melech Bo. See the word Melech? Maybe Shuran Melech. V'sasev Hashem Yimelech. You just find the Psukim that have the word Melech in them. Okay. I mean, if you read the thing, you really feel like you're digressing. You pay attention during davening. You just feel like you're just quoting random psukim that have the word melech. 10 psukim in a row. And zecha asom flosav chan racham Hashem. Yizkor lam brisov. Vayizkor lam brisov. Vaynachem krov chasadav. Zecha asom flosav. Zechati lachasad nirayach. Right. And shofar also. Haluka v'shofar. Haluka v'kuzo. Whatever. I mean, just going on these random. But what are you doing? If a person would just read them psukim, what would you say he's doing? Stop.
Learning.
What?
Learning.
Learning, right? Learning. Couldn't you, that's plain. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Learning, reading psukim is called Talmud Torah. That's learning, right? Isn't that what you're doing? I mean, forget about why you're learning, but what are you doing? It's to find what are you doing halachically. If you just take psukim and you start reading psukim. In fact, there's a time where we read them psukim. When's that?
Shabbos morning?
Kriyas HaTorah. Yes. Always Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is minimally 10 psukim. In fact, the number 10 in there, in that Gemara, is almost the same parallel, same Gemara. It's the Gemara Megillah. I think Megillah. But it's the reasons of the Tesseres Dibros, they almost have, there's another one. I think there's another one. They almost match up. But the idea is 10 psukim is Kriyas HaTorah. 10 psukim, that's a shir, and the minimum Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaTorah Tzibor, laning. It's the takana that we should be involved in laning, three, whatever, we shouldn't go 3 days without laning, we do 10 psukim. So that's what you're doing, you're reading psukim, it's Talmud Torah. What's Kriyas HaTorah? Talmud Torah. Right, so reading psukim, if you just have to define what you're doing, it's Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah about?
The Malchios, right?
Right, whatever it is. It's not Talmud Torah about the Parsha of the week,
right.
Or about the Nyan of the Yom, or whatever, about Pesach, or about whatever, it's Talmud Torah about Malchus, about Tzchonos, about Shofros. Right? Just defining what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help us. It's a question. Because why are you doing Talmud Torah in the middle of davening? But that's what I'm saying. What are you doing? I'm just saying, forget about it. This isn't answering anything. I'm just taking a step. Just following just methodology here. Let's first, before we get into why are they here? What are they? What are you doing? It would seem to be pretty. It seems like at least the simplest way to explain what are you doing is you're in the middle of Malchios. You're involving yourself in the Talmud Torah about Malchios. Right? You're learning about Malchios. You're explaining. You do. What better way to learn about Malchios? Taking the Pesukim and talking about Malchios. In the basic reading of Pesukim, look, there's Talmud Torah. You're not giving a whole shiur about it. But the basic unit of Talmud Torah is just Kriyas Pesukim. Right? Kriyas Pesukim. In fact, if you wanted to do it, you'd have to generally make Brachas Torah. Right? It's Kriyas Talmud Torah. You're reading Pesukim. You're not. But the problem is you're supposed to be davening now. What are you doing? In the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, you're going to start learning Torah? What are you you're getting mixed up? What are we doing here? Why are we learning Torah now? We're not learning Torah. We're supposed to be davening. I understand davening. You start off the bracha with describing about what Malchios says. And you say, Akin and Kavel Chai, basically the basic idea of Malchios. You know, that everyone will recognize God and Malchios. And then you talk about, same way you start Zichronos. You talk about God remembers. Then, for some reason, you start learning about Malchios. And then you make a request about Malchios. Okay, you make a request. So what's the deal? Why are we in between our intro and our request? Why are we learning? Who ever heard of learning in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Right? And a lot of pesukim. It's one thing, again, so if you quoted one pasuk, like by Shabbos here or there, you'll say it's explaining the idea or something. But just like the fact that it's so lengthy, it just sounds like we're going off on a tangent and we're just starting to learn about Malchios. Right? So what's the deal? So Avi's saying, and this is what I was doing with Rabbi Shimel, I think he thought at this point, but he's like, normally when you do, like, let's say, Atachonin Ladan Das, you request knowledge. So you don't have to get quite psukim about what knowledge is. I understand that. What knowledge? We know what knowledge is. We talk about Rafa'inu Hashem and Rafa. I mean, these things are plain things. We're davening Rosh Hashanah, so we're asking for our needs, and these are our needs. But like, Rosh Hashanah, we're requesting things which are not really basic human needs. Like, that's our everyday Shemoneh Esrei. Rosh Hashanah, we're asking for more lofty types of things. We're asking for God's Malchios to be established, for God to be Zocheros. We don't know exactly what that means. So we're asking for a shofar. So it's like, these are higher ideals which we're requesting for, fundamental ideas in the Torah, but they're beyond just our basic instinctual day-to-day needs. And to just start requesting Malchios without knowing what Malchios is somewhat empty.
Right?
We have to know, what are we requesting? And what better way to know what to know about something than to learn about it? So in other words, you're reading the Pesukim about it, through going over Pesukim about the thing, it gives you insight and it gives you examples and it shows you what Malchios means. That's what the Pesukim are. It's Talmud Torah about Malchios. And then you ask about it. Right? So the way that these people start, the basic structure is, first Chazal Shigdola wrote a text about the basic idea of the thing. But that's what they wrote. But then, let's use the Pesukim. Notice they give you a basic intro. But then the Torah, the Tanakh, is really the best way to learn about the theme. You know, so there's a more lengthy version which they wrote. But then let's say just like instances of the idea. Because they're giving you the basic idea of what Malchios is, but now let's take instances in Tanakh, in Torah, in Nevi'im, in Ksuvim. And look, Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim are different in terms of Talmud Torah. They're different. There's Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. I don't know exactly the differences in what which one is, but the Torah you see is broken up into different parts. They're different entities in Talmud Torah. There's Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim.
And you get a different viewpoint from...
Yeah, different viewpoint, different style, different perspective, whatever it is. I don't know. Maybe we can get into it. But whatever it is, they are different. It's not just 24 books of Tanakh. There's Torah, Torah's Moshe, then there's Nevi'im, which is Divrei Navi, came through Navi, then Ksuvim, Chachamim, Alpi Ruach Kodesh, whatever they are, they're different. So you want to learn about these ideas as a, it's like almost like as a machshir for your tefillah, as like a prep. Before you ask about these things, let's learn about them and understand them. These are not ordinary things that a person requests. So in woven into the request is Talmud Torah about these things. It's Kriyas Pesukim. It's a digression, in a certain sense it's a digression, but it's what enables the person to really make such a request, to make these requests. Otherwise the requests are empty. They don't have a content. I mean, obviously you could just read the Pesukim blindly and not know anything either. But there's nothing you can do about that. You know? I mean, obviously you should think about that. You should try to, you know, see what it's saying. You get a theme from the multiples of Pesukim, also gives you some context, it gives you a theme, you get an idea, you know, that kind of a thing. Right? And sometimes, like, one Pesuk, it's not exactly what it means. Through reading a number of Pesukim, a number of Pesukim from Torah, a number of Pesukim from Nevi'im, a number of Ksuvim, you get a feel for the idea. Now you request for it. Now, oh, that's what I'm requesting for. You have a clear, you have a, in your mind's eye what Malchus is. And then you request it. Right? Okay, so far so good. Now we don't know anything yet. So far we just have an idea about what you're doing. You want to involve yourself in Talmud Torah about Malchus and Shofros as a hechsher to prepare you for the request. Right? Now we don't know. Now we're ready to learn Agamara. Okay, now we're ready to learn Agamara and try to figure out the amount. See, this sounds like a, look. Maybe we have to refine this or you know get this, but at least we have some basic framework with which we could understand the thing. Which we kind of look. Maybe there's other ways to go, but we're somewhat defining the thing. We define that it's Talmud Torah, which seems to be you know clear. And they were saying, what sense does it make sense to have Tantor and Tefillah? So it makes sense that you're davening. So you have to somehow weave it into your Tefillah. So you're saying it's a hechsher for your Tefillah. It's part of the Tefillahs that you learn about it and then ask for it. So that kind of makes sense. So assuming you buy those steps, so now our question is, okay, so how many are we going to do? How many are we going to do? So is there any number which kind of makes sense here? We have different numbers on the table. Right, I guess let's say 3, 9, and 10. So Matt's saying 10. He likes 10. So we'll start with 10. So it's good to start somewhere. So 10, you see by Kriyas HaTorah, we don't know exactly why, but Kriyas HaTorah is 10 psukim. So it seems like the basic unit, you don't have a unit, a number, which characterizes the activity of Talmud Torah. So the unit, basic unit is 10. 10 psukim of Kriyas HaTorah. Learns also from those psukim, the same thing. As there's Dibros, whatever. So whatever those things are. But it seems to be, if you want to pick a number and you want to say that in the middle of Tefillah here, we have to digress and get involved in Talmud Torah about Malchus. So the basic, if you want to have a number, which is a unit of Talmud Torah, it would seem to be 10 is a good number. So that's fine. That's reasonable. How do you apportion the 10? I think he basically says, that's an interesting question, Chaim, you're asking. But it seems like he holds 3, 3, and 3. Like, let's say the 9, Shita, because 9 and 10 are very close. Right? Like you were saying before, Yaakov, 9, 10 are close. And the Gemara seems to think it's close. It's almost like they're so close together. That's what the Gemara is saying. The difference is only one. So it seems like they both hold. You do 3, 3, and 3. 3 Torah, 3, 3, and 3 Ksuvim. And then you just have a 10th one to top off the number. You need 10. So it seems like even the 10 guy, though, holds by 3, 3, and 3. He just has your 10th one, which is like a mashlim. Like, you have to get 10, because that's the number you want, so that's how you get the, you know, that's how you get the number. I mean, it does seem to be that the 10 shita does hold by 333. He just has a mashlam idea. Right? You're mashlam with the Torah, you're mashlam with the Navi. Right, but, and the Gemara is making a point, is that Ikiv and I is only one, right? So if you say that the 10 is totally just means 10, nothing to do with 333, right? And then as long as it's even I one, I mean, they're totally different shitos. But it seems to be the Gemara is making it like 3, 3, and 3, but he has a 10th. But let's, maybe we should just think. So what's the idea of 3, 3, 3? Maybe we could just try to figure that out. What's the idea of 9, 3, 3, 3? Hear what Avi's saying. This is what I just think, something like this. It's like, see, if the idea is the limud about the idea, and this actually answers Yaakov's question, is just do one of each, right? Why not one? Torah and Bein Ksuvim find the difference. So they take one of each, right? The basic parts of Talmud Torah is Torah and Bein, whatever, so one of each. But I think what Avi is saying is just, like, remember the point here is that we're worried that a person should get a concept of the Talmud Torah about what Malchus is, right? And that's why it's Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah about Malchus. And Malchus, first of all, we're saying is in Talmud Torah there's different components. There's the Torah, there's Navi, there's Ksuvim. But in terms of learning, you wanted to get a good feel for like a word. Let's say you're talking about a word and you want to get a feel for the word. So you don't want to just have one or two sets. There's this idea, I don't know why, I can't defend exactly the number 3, but you want to get a feel for what the concept is. You know, in one example or even two examples, you want to be able to draw a universal to try to kind of get a bigger picture about what Malchus means. And through the different instances of it in your mind, you could unify them and put them together. So it seems to be it's saying is, look, you want it to be Torah and Ksuvim, but you want to have 3 within each. So it's like you have a real involvement in the Talmud Torah about Malach and the Torah. And then a real involvement in the Talmud Torah and the Neviim about Malach. And then a real involvement in Ksuvim about Malach. So it's like, it's not just a matter of just citing Pesukim. If you're citing Pesukim, you could just do one, whatever. But here it's like a real, you want to impress upon the person to get in their mind what's going on, what's the idea of Malach. And the way you get a feel for a word is by for an idea is by taking different instances of it and getting a picture. So again, it's hard to get the exact number three, but it seems to me reasonable three. You know, even though I can defend if as opposed to four or two, but if I had to pick a number, I think I would pick three for that.
You can defend it because it's one of each.
Well, no, it's more than one of each because it's three of each. Because one of each is the other shita. This is three of each. Three Torah, three Navi, three Ksuvim. So what I'm saying is, listen, there's different, Torah is different than Navi, different than Ksuvim. So you want to learn about how the Torah uses the word Melech. That's how you want to get a feel. What does the Torah mean when it uses the word Melech? So you give me three examples, and then I kind of put them together. You give me one example, I certainly don't.
Three examples for each one, though?
Yes. Three things times the Torah uses the word Melech. Three times the Navi uses the word Melech. Because Torah and Navi are different. Sometimes within each one, I take three examples. What? Oh, that's Malchios. And Zechronos, I also do the same thing. Shofar, I also do the same thing. You know? But the nine, that's the argument of nine. There's the thing is that you want it to be, it's Talmud Torah about the idea. Talmud Torah has three components, Torah and Vim Ksuvim. Within each of them, you want to have a sufficient representation of Psukim about the term Melech or Zikaron or Shofar from each. So that's why you have three. Three, three is nine. And that's why it comes to nine. Right? The ten seemingly also has that, but he wants another one for, so you get to ten. Right? So you get to that number. So the question is, what's that machlokas? Let's say that's the machlokas. So, is it that they're totally different ballparks? One position says, like what Matt was saying, ten. Because ten is a good number. For the Talmud Torah. And the other one says, no, forget that. I don't like that. But I held by this 3-3-3 thing, you know? Or could we somehow, like the Gemara kind of shoves them together, there's only a difference of one. I mean, they're not really only a difference of one. According to how we learned, they're totally different things. They're totally like, unrelated almost. Just happens to be, coincidentally, they end up being close together. You know, could we kind of put them closer together? Nine is symmetrical. Nine kind of makes more sense. Nine is... Right, that's, I think, why the Gemara is asking. Where does this 10 come from? 9, I can understand. 3, I can understand. 1 of each, 3 of each. 10 is a weird number. What's 10?
Right.
So that's why the Gemara has to quote a psukim. Oh, because this, because that, 10 of these, 10 of that. So you have to kind of show me precedent that 10 is a real number, which you see by the Talmud Torah also. 9 and 3, the Gemara never even asks it, because those kind of, there's a sense to those numbers. Although we haven't explained 3 yet, but these, you know, once it's symmetrical, it's easier to understand. 10th pasuk, just to add on a 10th pasuk, sounds like it's, oh, because you want to have a 10th pasuk. 7, we don't know. Let's leave 7 out of it for now. That's the first thing I want to do. Maybe we'll leave some questions here, okay?
For tomorrow. Is it that the 10 is...
All right, that's my question. Is 10 and 9, the way we're learning so far, is 10 is one idea, which is like Talmud Torah or something. 9 is a totally different idea that you want to have 3 of each kind. And they happen to be one-off, but they're totally different. Or, so then, can we define what that machlokas is? Like, what is it dependent upon? And it would be even better if we could do what the Gemara seems to be doing, which is to show that the 9 and the 10 are kind of close together, and they're only one-off. Like, it's a funny thing for the Gemara to do, and they're only one-off. If conceptually they're worlds apart, and they just happen to work out mathematically to be one-off, okay, it's like a little bit... You know, it's somewhat coincidental. It doesn't seem to be significant for the Gemara to point it out. So it would be nicer if we could somehow get them closer together and to figure out what's the machlokas, whether you say 9 or 10.
Well, that's what we were saying, right?
That they're closer?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what's the machlokas?
Oh.
I like to say that they're closer, that the 10 also has the 9 in it. He just wants the number of 10.
Yeah, right.
But then what's the machlokas?
Oh.
You know, then can we define what, because apparently the 9 position didn't care about having... Let's say that's the way that the Gemara doesn't resolve this way, but let's say the Chum is 9 or 10. The Chum says 9 because that's what I need, 3, 3, 3. And the Chum says, no, you better make a 10 because 10, Talmud Torah, whatever. So what's that machlokas? Can we define that question, whether or not you'd want to pop it up one in order to get to 10 or not? You know, so that's one thing I like to define. And then the next thing is, what about the way we conclude the machlokas is about is 10 versus 3? We don't really go for a 9. Right, we hold, the Gemara ends up resolving that Riach and Riach is by 3. In which case, it's a big difference. It's not just off by 1. So it sounds like that's a whole different thing. What's that machlokas? Whether it's 10 versus 3. 3 we haven't really explained yet, although we may be equipped to be able to explain it a little bit. But what's the difference whether I say 10 or 3? Is 3 the same thing as 9? Just less? Or is 3 a different idea? Seems like Gemara thinks it's further apart. It's definitely quantitatively further apart. But is it a whole different concept, or is it the same concept? Is it, you know? So let's try to pull together those things. And it would be nice if we could get seven. That would be nice. But that's, I think to do that, you have to do the Gemara, because it has apoches. It's a little bit tricky there. I don't really have, you know, but maybe, you know, if we get something about seven, that would also be good. One point, I just want to review the methodology here. Okay, because it's a Gemara here is a difficult Gemara, and I think the way to get started in dealing with numbers is to first figure out what the Pesukim are for altogether. So we did is, well, what are Pesukim? So we're Talmud Torah, and then we're saying it seems somehow the Pesukim or Talmud Torah has some sort of an intro, a lead-in, a Hechsher, to be able to prep, to be able to daven, which we give a source of explaining it because these are abstract type of tefillos. They're not asking for your day-to-day needs, but you're asking for ideas about God and for God to be involved in revealing his kingdom and his zichronos. So first you want to explain the ideas as a proper, what better way to explain the ideas is through Talmud Torah about the ideas, and that's a hechsher, a prep for the tefillah. Once we have that, then we're in a ballpark to have these discussions. You know what I mean? So the hard work is, or the important work, is not just, if you just took this and started defining things straight up, let's say, well, 10, 3, 7, you wouldn't have anything to go on. You know, but if you take the first introductory steps, starters, you kind of build a framework for yourself in which it's legitimate to start talking about discussing numbers. You know? Okay, so let's try to continue this tomorrow.